Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, halfway down the Amud, more than half, you can count up from the bottom approximately 15 lines, I would say. You'll see the two dots, Haroveh VaNirva. And now moving on to the Bava Emtzayis, the middle section of the Mishnah that we started this perek. And we're talking about a whole list of Psulei Karbanos. And as opposed to the first case, the Bava Kama of this Mishnah, we're no longer talking about Isurei Hanah, we're talking about Psulim L'Mizbeach, and we have this whole list of Roveah, Nirva, Mukta, Nevad, Esnan, Mechir, Kilayim, Trefa, Yotzei Dofen. And in any of these cases, which we went through again 2 days ago, so I'm not going to review the various cases right now, if there was a Taroves of any of these behemos psulos l'mizbeach, together with zvachim ksherim l'mizbeach, ruyim l'mizbeach, then the Mishnah gives us the ruling that yiro achi stavu, we wait until the animal grazes and swallows a nail, so to speak, it becomes a baal mum, or call it a balas mum, and at that point, what happens is that we can do a kind of a pigeon, which is called Yaviu Bidmeyem Karbanos Acherim. So with that money, we're going to sell these animals, buy a karbon, and these animals themselves will be Yotzei Lechulin. The buyer has now these animals. He can do whatever he pleases with these animals, any of these animals. Now the Gemara wants to clarify, how is it possible that in the case of Trefa, which is one case on this list, there could be a Taroves, in which case you cannot identify the Trefa. Bishle Makulo, in all the other cases of Psulim, there's nothing physical that would distinguish it from any other animal. They look exactly identical. If the animal had been part of an act of Nirva, it doesn't look any different. If it was given to a Zona as payment, as Schir, as Schar Sachir, or, for example, if it was swapped with a dog or a Kelaim itself, we don't know. It's not Nikar, and therefore we have a Taroves. Lo Yedia. We don't know which behemoth is Psula, which behemoth is Kshera. Masha Enken, however, in contrast, we have the case of a Trefa. Elahai Trefa, Hechi Domi. What's the case? Mimonav Shach, we're in trouble. E Yediale, if the Kohen knows exactly which behema is the Trefa. For example, let's say one of the legs of the animal from the knee and below is cut off, or let's say it has a certain scar in which in its brain. Is in all these cases trefosa nikeres, we can certainly discern that it's a trefa. Is leisei velishkalei, just simply take that animal out of the mix, and all the balance of the animals will be mutabakrov ve'ilo yadilei. If on the other hand, there's no way that you can know that this animal is a trefa, it's an internal organ, is minman yana di'ira. How can you tell me it's tarovis of a behemoth trefa? You can't even identify, you can't even know that it's behemoth trefa. I was thinking in modern terms, maybe if you took an x-ray, you could determine that this animal's a trefa. But on the outside, you couldn't tell the difference. But that wouldn't solve the Gemara's problem, because if there were an x-ray situation, that'd subject all the behemoths to an x-ray, and that would be a great way of determining which are the ksheros and which is the trefa. So the Gemara suggests one possible answer, and we'll see the Gemara is going to have to suggest other answers. Amri debei Rav Yanai. In the base measure of Yana, they gave the following solution: Ochamayaskid in the case in the Mishnah's Kigon Di Arev Nekuvas Hakotz Vidrusas Hazeev. It's the case where it's impossible to differentiate between the two animals, the two wounds. One animal is wounded by a thorn. That's called Nekuvas HaKotz. Kotz is a thorn. So a thorn pierced through the animal in a way that it's not a trefa, which would mean, let's say, the puncture by as a result of this Kotz did not affect the lungs or any critical vital organs in the body cavity, so the animal is not a trefa. The healing will take place naturally over the course of time. It's not considered a mum that would disqualify it as a balas mum. So it's not only not a treifa. You have to say it's not a balas mum. And the second animal was attacked by a wolf. Drusas ze'ev. Now the assumption here is that this animal that was attacked by a ze'ev is going to die eventually. It's a treifa. And Rashi interprets that there's a certain venom, some sort of a poison, so to speak, that through the wolf's claws, when the wolf gets a hold of the animal, it's going to eject that the venom into the animal. The animal will eventually die. Rashi says, Trefa mipnei shaha eres, which is the toxic subsarfa, will, so to speak, burn up the animal here in this case that was victimized by this wolf. Velo yada bein nekuva ledrusa. It's very hard to differentiate now which one was the nekuva that was pierced by a thorn and which one was a drusa that was attacked by a wolf in such a way that the claws of the wolf injected into the body of the animal, of its victim, a certain poison that eventually will kill the animal. My father as a child had a goat and it was attacked by a wolf. And on one hand you would think that the animal was still kosher because it was not a trait for the goat was able to hold its own against a much more powerful animal, in this case a wolf, but the animal was a trait for because of this halacha called Drusas HaZe'ev. Reish Lakish offers an alternative explanation. Says Reish Lakish, Kigon de'i'arev binafula. So there's something called an afula, milosha nefila. And these zvachim ksherim became mixed up with a behemosh and nafla min agag. The animal fell from the gag, and here Reish Lakish is machadesh, that even though the nefula is not a vadei treifa, but it's a safek treifa, because we're not sure, given the fall, whether the animal's internal organs, the vital organs, were broken, were pierced through. And in Masechet Chulin on Daf Nun Aleph, we learn that a nefula that fell off a roof, it was shechted within 24 hours of its nefila, it's definitely considered a treifa. In other words, unless we know otherwise, the animal continues to survive for a longer period of time, we assume for sure it is a treifa. And that applies even if we check the animal after shechita, we don't find any simani treifa. There are 24 simani treifa, we don't find any of them. But nevertheless, we assume it's a treifa. Again, you have to know what's the height from which it fell from the roof. When, under what conditions do we assume that despite the fact that the internal examination reveals no damage whatsoever, we still assume the animal's a treifa, it suffered a concussion of its organs. However, if himtin esrim v'arba shos v'shachta, if he let the animal live for 24 hours and then he shechted tzarch bedika, then we'll do an examination of the internal parts of the animal. Because since on the outside there are no simani treifa, if we don't find anything internally, then we assume it's a kshera. But nevertheless, when this nefula got mixed up amongst zvachim ksherim, we cannot wait 24 hours. So the case of this karban is, let's say they took this nefula and it entered into the corral and mixed up with other animals, we have no possibility of doing an internal examination. The animal is still alive. And now, let's say if he goes and he shechts the animal, there's a possibility that the animal is a treifa. And he writes here, Eino yochol lahamtin esrim v'arba shos v'oz lishchon es kulam ba'azara v'livdok sheyesh bahem or ein bahem simani treifa. Why not just wait the 24 hours? And we said that an internal exam would be enough to clarify that it's a treifa or not. And then all the animals could be ksheros. But the answer is ki yesh chashash timtza treifa v'nimtza shehichnis v'meizi treifel azara. Right, in order to obviate this safek, what he has to do is he has to bring it into the azara and do a shechita, and then after the shechita he's going to find out what the story is, but he may find out to his dismay that this animal was in fact a treifa, and he was not allowed to bring it into the azara to shech the animal. So there's no way that he can be machsha the carbon that's mixed up in this tarovis. That's what we have over here. Now there's a long footnote here in which he suggests that the Iser here is called a Shechitas Treifa. Rashi interprets that the Iser here is Midivrei Kabbalah. It's not a Doraisa. And it's based on the Pasuk in Malachi, Hakrivu Noav Lefechasecha Hayiratzecha, from which we derive in many places in Shas that we don't bring a carbon that's moz, that's bozui, on the Mizbeach. Now, much more so if it was bozui because of this nefila, and in the case of bosom, Adam, the human being, if you would bring him a dover bozui, let's say you bring your friend a dover bozui, then, you know, he's going to be very upset with you. So we're not going to be makriv takarish baruch with dover bozui. And Rashi identifies this case of an afula as a dover bozui, as if to say the psul is not the orais of treifa, but rather it's a psul of hakrevuhu na midivrei kabbalah. There's a long discussion here, but let's go on. The Gemara now raises the following objection to Reish Lakish: Nefula Nami Livdikei. And the Gemara says, Amda is Tzricha Meis Le'eis, Holcha Tzricha Medika. So let's go over the Gemara's Kashi: Nefula Nami Livdikei. Even if it's a Nefula, the animal fell off a roof, we can check it and see whether it's a treifa. And how do we do this? Nigrom l'chol ha-behemo shebetarovas lahalech. Let's get all the animals to walk. And if all of them walk, then we know that there's no treifa, because this is based on one of the opinions in the Gemara in Chulin, on Nun Aleph Amid Beis, that if the Nefula stands on its feet, then even if you didn't wait the 24 hours, we could do a Bedika after Shechita, a post-mortem internal inspection to determine whether it's a Treifa or not. That's the case of Holcha. Not only that, there's one man who says that holcha, if the animal is able to get up on all fours and walk on its own, you don't even need a bedika after shechita. So the bottom line is, we don't understand Reish Lakish here. Reish Lakish is assuming that what was the nature of the animal that got mixed up with the ksheros? It was a nefula. Yeah, but a nefula can be checked out. And after the shechita, we could do so. So Rashi explains that this kasha of Nefula Nami Livdikei is based on the Man D'Yomer who says that Holcha is Omdam Arugach of a Holcha, it doesn't need a Bedik at all. And when the Gemara says Livdikei, it doesn't mean that we could check the animal and see its internal organs. The animal's alive and well, but we should check whether it can walk or not. And if in fact it can walk, then we assume it's not a treifa. Now again, you could have argued that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the animal was not a holcha. The animal was not able to stand on its feet. But in any event, the Gemara gives the following answer: Kasav Reish Lakish holds like that Tana, and he identifies our Mishnah with that Tana, that Omda Tzricha Meis Le'eis, that even if the animal stands up after its fall, nevertheless it still needs a 24-hour period where we have to wait, and then we could shecht it and do an internal inspection. Halcha, if on the other hand the animal starts walking, it doesn't need a hamtana. We don't have to wait meisleis a 24-hour period before shechita. But nevertheless, even so, after shechita tzricha bedika. So holcha is not a conclusive, absolute proof that the animal is not a trefa. We still need, and we're required to make an internal inspection. And again, if we find as a result of this inspection, to our dismay, that the animal was in fact a trefa, then it turns out that he was machnis a trefa into the azara, and that he's not allowed to do. Rabbi Yirmiyah has a different take on our Mishnah. Kagon di'arev bivlad trefa, that the zvachim k'shem got mixed up with the case of an animal that was born from a behemoth trefa, that's called a vlad trefa. The mother animal is a trefa, and the vlad is a behemoth trefa. And therefore you cannot see any psul on the outside of the animal, because the animal was born to a trefa, but it's a perfectly healthy animal. But then we have to add another factor. So what if it's a vlad trefa? Why is that a problem for this tarobes? And the answer is the sheet of our Mishnah is Kirabi Eliezer, Hidiomar. Rabbi Eliezer says in Masechta Tmura on Daf Lamed Beis, Vlad Trefa Lo Yikrav Legabe Mizbeach. The Sugya in Tmura is going to explain why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a Vlad Trefa Lo Yikarev. And it's not that it has the status of a trefa, but nevertheless it's a separate din in akrova that you're not allowed to be makriv the vlad of a trefa. And the Gemara is going to explain it there in Masechta Tmura. In any event, the vlad trefa looks exactly like any other animal. It's indistinguishable from those karbonos hakshirim. And that's why the Tanavan Mishnah understood that in this case, all the animals have to go out to graze until they become a balas mum. The Gemara says, Kulu, why didn't all these Amoraim agree, whether it's Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Yanai, why didn't they agree to one explanation of the Mishnah? And the answer is because Heim Savru Shalahavchin, to distinguish between Nekuva Sakoitz, Ledrusa Sazev, Meili Yadeh. The common person knows how to distinguish between an animal that had a thorn in its side and an animal that was attacked with the claws of a wolf. Hai moshich v'hai ogil. In the case of, let's say, a wolf that attacked with its claws, moshich nimshach v'yored mikoach tziparno, which means that the damage, the wound, let's call it the wound that's caused by a wolf, it extends. It goes in, you know, because the wolf scratches it with its claws, so basically produces a longer kind of a wound. On the other hand, in the case of a wound that's caused by a thorn, the Gemara says it's agil, it's round. Anyway, the difference between the two is clearly discernible. One is a trefa, one is not. And Reish Lakish l'omer, they didn't like the teretz of Reish Lakish, that's Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yanai, because kasavri omda eina tzricha meisleis. They were of the opinion that if the animal stands on its feet after it fell off the roof, even if it's within the 24 hours, nevertheless you can subject it to shechita, but holcha eina tzricha bedika, if the animal was walking, it doesn't require an internal examination after the shechita, and therefore we cannot accept Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish is of the opinion that omda tzricha bedika, and that bedika can only be made after shechita in the azara. And then if we find it was a trefa, we're in trouble. Rabbi Yirmiyah lo amri, the hesitation of Rabbi Yanai and Reish Lakish as far as accepting Rabbi Yirmiyah's explanation of that Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer lo mukmi. they don't want to establish the Mishnah like Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar, by saying that Vlad Trefalo Yikrav Gabi Mizbeach, he was accepting the Das HaMiut. That is certainly not a reflection of the majority view. The Gemara continues to explain the next part of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says if there was a tarovus of the kodshim of Reuven together with the kodshim of Shimon, then if it was min bimino, then each karbon could be brought with some sort of a generic kind of machshava l'shem mishu bailov. So the Gemara asks, "V'ha boy smicha? What do you gain by the mishu bailov? You need smicha sabailov." And since we don't know which carbon belongs to which person, which belongs to Reuven, which to Shimon, how are you going to be mekayim the mitzvah of smicha? And you might ask, well, let's invite each one of these two, Reuven and Shimon, who are b'klal l'safik, to be somech on both karbonos. And Mimela, one of the two, is certainly his karbon. The answer is because mitzvah smicha requires that it be done b'chol kocho. And this thing called kol kocho is only mutter for the person who owns the karbon. If it's a smicha al karbon, no, then this smicha is allowed, is permissible, even though it's called kocho. If it's someone else's karbon, then he violates an isur being mishtamish b'kodshin. Omar Rav Yosef, the answer to your question is the following: b'karbon noshim. Our Mishnah is talking about a case of a karbon that was the balas karbon in this case was a woman, and based on a sugya in Chagiga, we're going to find out that a karbon noshim doesn't require smicha, and the Gemara derives this from a pasuk daber el bnei. Daber el bnei Yisrael v'samach. Bnei Yisrael somchim v'ein b'nos Yisrael somchos. It's also a sugya in Erevin on Daf Tzadi Vavav in Beis. So the Gemara now is medayek from the fact that Rav Yosef needed to interpret our Mishnah as referring to carbon as noshim that got mixed up. Is aval carbon not noshim? Had it been a carbon of a man, is then low, it's not shaykh to be makir of the karbon. Lo shayeches hakrova hoil velo shaykh lekayma mitzvah smicha. If a man, it can't be mekayma mitzvah smicha. So we're going to have to implement the principle of yiru achi stavu, and then they're going to buy karbonis with the domin from that same min that they were chayev in. This is the way Tosus learns in Dibur Maskel V'ha. The Rambam has a different shot. Each one could actually buy out the chelik of his friend, and then they could be makir both karbonos. So now we're turning to Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Esve Abaye asks on the diuk of Rav Yosef. We have a brayse that says karbon yachid. We're talking about a chatas that belongs to Reuven, for example. Shenis Ari b'karbon chatas yachid shel Shimon. And v'karbon, the same halach would apply in a chatas shel tzibur. Shenis Ari b'karbon chatas shel tzibur, another tzibur. Let's say, for example, you had a soyer rosh chodesh, which is a carbon tzibur, and it got mixed up with a soyer rosh Hashanah. Or carbon yachid, the carbon tzibur shenis Ari b'zebezeh. If let's say there was a tarovis of the soyer of a nasi together with the soyer of ole regalim, that's the way Rashi learns it here. Ole regalim, you know, stam chatos if it's for yachid is nekeva, and stam chatos tzibur is a zohar. So what's the tarovis over here? So Rashi interprets that we're talking about a chatos nasi, which came with a zohar and got mixed up with the chatas tzibur that came with a zohar. So in all these cases, this arvu zebazeh is no sein arva matanos. The dam is given on four different zrikos on the four corners of the mizbeach. We call echad the echad for each one of the karbanos that was mixed up together. For example, from the dam achatos, we're going to do arva matanos al arva kranos on mizbeach. If there was a toda or an ola or a shlamim, then you only need shtei matanos shein arba. So he's going to give the dam on each carbon shtei matanos shein arba. And then the Braisa concludes by saying, after nosein arba matanos, these four zrikos and the four kronos, we call echad v'echad for each carbon, and nosa matanos we call echad yotza. This reflects the Shita Beis Hillel back on Daf Lamed Vav in the days that even in the case of a chatos, one matana on one of the kronos is enough to clinch the kaparas hakarba b'di'evet. V'yim nosan arba matanas mikulon. In other words, if he gave matana achashi shtayim, where he puts it on a keren and the blood flows in two directions on two tzidei akeren from this carbon, and then he gives a matana achashi shtayim from this carbon, so that all total we have shtei matana shein arba yotza. Again, this nosan arba mikula means that he did a matana achashi shtayim, again on a keren shikfulo l'shnei tzidei akeren from one carbon, and he did a matana achashi shtayim for the other carbon. So v'sach hakol yash shtei matanos shein arba is yotza. Then the Braisa qualifies it. B'me dvarim amurim, when does this apply? That's only kishenis arvu chayim. We're talking about where the animals got mixed up together while they were still alive. And that's when we can do this matana of nosan arba mikul. Aval this arvu shchutim. If after the shchita, the kohen was makabel the dam in one kus, and that kos now is done from two different karbonos, let's say an ol and a chatos, whatever it might be, is no sein arba matanos mikulon. He does a matana achas, shein shtayim, from each of the two karbonos together, because again, both of the dams are now mixed together in one receptacle, and now we're holding what's called yesh bila. So they're all mixed up together very well. Nothing is separated from the mixture. And then it turns out that when he does the Nesinas Adamim one time, then it's all he has to do is no stain, mikol, karbon, v'karma. But the Imnasa Matona Achas Mikulon Yotza. If he only gave one matana from all of the dam in the kos, yotza, this is a shita basil that we mentioned earlier, the matana achas kiper b'di'evet. So all this is the shita of the Tanakam. Rebbe Omer, roin es hamatana im yeshba kidei lazeh ukidei lazeh kshera v'im lav psula. Or says, we only apply this principle of nosan achas mikulam yotza. He could fulfill his obligation with one nesina. In the case of chayim, the animals are alive and well. However, this arvu shchutim, if the tarovus happened after shchita, and now the dam of both these two chatos have been mixed together, is no sein arba matanos mikulon. He can again give four matanos, and it's not necessary to add any additional nesinos dam. It's sufficient one complete set of dam. of Nesinas Dam. In other words, this is Yesh Blila, that we assume that there's a total mixture of all the damim. So not like what we said before, that Nosan Arba Mikulan Yotza, he has to do a double sprinkling on behalf of each one of these two karbonos, so that he has Arba. No, just one Matana, because that Matana covers him for each one of the karbonos, because when you have this mixture of lach balach, of min bimino, then it becomes blila, and the zrika relates to both karbonos. The Gemara is going to talk about this later on in Daf Pei. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe disagrees. He says, ro eres amatono im yesh ba kedei lozeh kedei lozeh kshera im la psula. And what that means is that, let's say there's a minimum amount of dam that we need, and you're going to have that minimum amount of dam such that if you split it, you still have enough for each one of the two. So according to the Bandi Omar, who says Ein Blila, then we don't see this as a Taruvus at all. And when he takes out the dam and Akos, he may have taken out the dam of only one carbon, and therefore we're going to need a full Arba Matonos. And that's even after Shechita, when the Tarovus took place. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he says that we need Yesh Bashir Nesina Kedei Lozeh Kedei Lozeh. And then it's Kshera. Then it generates the Kapara. But in Lav, if there's not enough of a volume of Dam that's enough for both Karbonos, through one Nesina is Psula, and there's no Kapara Sakarbon. Again, even though the two damim are completely mixed, and he gives one nesina, but it turns out that when he gives from two damim v'yachad on the mizbeach, since the nesina's damim has a shir, he wasn't yotzei yidei chovaso unless he gave the kashir aroi for both karbonos. We'll have to work on the shir later on, but right now that's the premise that we have. The Gemara now is medayik from this braisa, ketani. One thing we see clearly from the braisa in the din tarovus of karbanos yachid, or the tarovus of karbanos tzibur, it seems that we're talking about a karban yachid that's dumya de karban tzibur, mat tzibur gavri. Just like the karban tzibur, we're talking about a karbanos of men and not of women, because women don't have a chelik in the karbanos tzibur, is so to af yochid gavri. When we talk about a karban yochid, we're talking about a karbanos of a gavri of men, and they have a chiyuv smicha. And nevertheless, the braisa says that we can shech them and we can do the matanos of each karban and the bailam ayotzi dechovasam. Obviously, there was no smicha on the karbanos. This is a kash on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said that Mishnah was talking about a case of karbanos shel noshim, where there's no smicha, but if it would have been karbanos shel anoshim that requires smicha, there's no takana to this taroves. The braisa seems to assume that smicha is not miyakev. And Rava comes to defend Rav Yosef from a Rava. So Rava turns to Abai, who asked this kasha from the braisa, and he says, V'tizra hametaratztahi. Do you assume that we can explain this braisa and understand it in the superficial way simply? And when it says the katani on the din that l'chatchili you have to put it on all four matanos ki echad for each one of them is b'medvamum k'shenisaru chaimisaru k'shutim lo, and you prove from that that nisarvu bodem chayim, even without smicha, you could be makir of them. Let me ask you the following question: mali chayim, mali shkutim? Just like in the case of chayim, when the animal is still alive, and you have to give l'chatchila arva matonis mikol echad, is so too the nisarvu shkutim. Even if the mixture happened with the dam, there would be a case where you have to be nosein arva matonis of each karbon. For example, if lo nisarvu kol adamim kos echad, if there was no tarovus of all the damim in one klisharis, but rather each dam was put in a separate kos, and then the kosos later on subsequently were mixed together, and we don't know which kosos belongs to Reuven, which to Shimon. Then lechatchila is yesh lo dam. He should do an asinus dam of arba matonis from each one of these two kosos. So why the chiluk here? Why the distinction between chayim and shchutim? And therefore, we have no choice but to assume that the brisa cannot be understood on a simple level kibshuta, and it means dafka disarvu b'medvar mum dafka disarvu b'charbonis lichayim alahachi kamer b'medvar mamurim. When is it that you require arba matonis of each karbon? That's kibshuta shchutim ke'ein chayim. The karbonos had a tarovos when they were already shechted, but it was like a tarovus michayim, because each one is omi b'fnei atzma, which means this arvu le'achar shechita in different kosos. Each kos, each kli, is independent of the other kli. We don't know, again, which kos belongs to which of the two individuals, Reuven and Shimon. Amal b'bolel, but if the two damim were mixed together of these shechutim, and therefore you have a blila, you have a mixture of two karbanos in each kos, is no sin arba matonos lekula, and then he can do with one matana, he can do the arba, because since we hold that there is bila, that it's as if he gave from each karbon and karbon. And then v'yimnasa matana achas lekula and yotza. So since it must be that this brisa is not talking about a case where there was nisarvu a karbonis michayim mamish, it could be nisarvu after shkita, then it might have been that there was smicha while the animal is alive. So there's no proof here that nisarvu karbonos, which requires smicha, and there is a takana to this tarovis, because we're talking about a case where perhaps the smicha was implemented before the animal was shechted. So Rava first proves that you can't take this brisa literally, it cannot be correct, and then he goes ahead and he reinterprets the brisa. What makes it impossible to take a literal interpretation of this brisa? So when the brisa says bameh dvar mamurim, this first section of the brisa, can it be speaking of an actual live animal, that the animal is mamsha alive, and it became mixed up before smicha the way you understood it, Abaye? If that be the case and the animal is still alive, what does it say b'med v'amurim, that under what circumstances that, you know, you could get away with arba matonos for each, you require arba matonos for each one of the karbonos, kishnisarvu mechayim aval nisarvu shchutim lo, but if there was the mixture of the afterwards, then you would not need arba matonis to cover all of them. Mali chayim, mali shchutim. What's the difference? What difference does it make whether this tarovus took place when they were alive or they were geshocht? In either way, the applications of each sacrifice must be required individually for each one of the karbanos. So even if the karbanos were already slaughtered, were already shechted, it's still possible that we need the application of each dam separately. In other words, let's say the blood of each one of these karbanos was received into its own kos, and then we mix the dam from one kos into the other in one large kos. So since the dam is not mixed together in one kos initially, each karba requires its own damin. And if you're going to tell me that you need a separate set of nesinas dam for each one of the two live animals after shechita, then it should be required whenever possible, even if the animals were slaughtered. So why did the Brice imply that if the animals were slaughtered, then we don't have a requirement to have two sets of blood applications, one respect for each one of the karbanos? And therefore Rava says we have to reinterpret the Brice that we're talking about nisarvu shchutim ke'ein chayim. It means that Enochinami, we were after shkita that tarovas took place. Again, while the animal was alive, each karbon had its own smicha. Reuven did his and Shimon did his. But after the shkita, there was an intermingling of the dam, and the bloods are now in like they were a kechayim in two separate kosos. And in this case, you need a separate nesinas dam for the dam in each one of the two kosos. But the Bolel, the Mishnah wants to set up that in what case do you have the possibility of doing an Esinas Dam on behalf of both Karbanos? That's in the case of a Bolel where the Dam was blended together in the same kos. So all the Kohen has to do is no saying Dalid Matanos Lekulam. He doesn't have to give separate Matanos for each one of the two Karbanos, since all the Dam is mixed up in one kos, and that's called Blila. The Imnasa Matana Achas Lekulon Yotza. He can make one Nesina, and with that Nesina he fulfills his Chiyuv vis-a-vis both Karbanos. And according to this pshat in the Brice is not talking about a case of live animals, so therefore the issue of smicha is not an issue, and therefore there's no kasha from this Brice on Rav Yosef. So now the Gemara is going to examine the second opinion in the Brice, when the two damim were mixed in the same kos. Rebbe Omer Roin S. Hamatana, we the word matana refers to the kamus of the matana, the volume of the damim. Yesh ba shir nesina kedeis lezer zeh ksheirevim lav psula. And the Gemara says, "Umi islay le Rebbe haisvara." Is it really true that Rebbe holds that a minimum amount of dam is needed for each nesina, and therefore he requires that minimum amount of dam to be doubled to cover both karbonos in this Tarovis case? For Tanya, we have a brisa which is going to be quoted later on in Daf Pei, as far as the Azah on Tmeim of a Mei Chatos, Omer Rebbe Ledivrei Rabbi Eliezer. Now this is a Mishnah in the 9th Perek of Parah that records Machlok Shim Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about a Tzluchis Sheyeshba Mechatos Kidoshim. So we have now a mixture of Mayim Kidoshim in this Kli. When Nafu Latocha Mayim Me'acha Eino Mekudoshim, a certain minimum amount of water fell in that's not Mekudosh, according to the Chachamim, all the water in this Tzluchis became Pasul. And we're not going to say which is majority and which is minority. And therefore it's Mufkat, completely possible from Azad Tabi Mes. And this is based on the underlying sheet of Yesh Bila, which means the Mayim Ksheim and the Mayim Psulim become absolutely intermingled in one entity. And now there's a shear of Mayim that has to fulfill a required minimum volume in order to set up Hazal Atame, and we have to be concerned, according to Chachamim, that maybe he wasn't mazeh from the Mayim Kshirim enough of a shear, and therefore even if he'll do a second follow-up Hazal, it's not going to help, because there's a din that ain Hazal's mitztarfos, you can't integrate one Hazal into the other, so in each Hazal individually we don't know if there's a shear of Mayim Kshirim. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he could do what's called Yazem and Amayim Shtei Hazos Al Hatomei Vatar Vivitoyer. He could do a double Hazah on the same Tomei, which would guarantee that the Tomei definitely got enough for Shear of Mayim Ksherim. And Rabbi Eliezer and his Shita is embellished, is explained by Rebbe. And here we're turning to Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis, that Hazah Kol Shu Metaheres, which means that there's no shear, there's no minimum shear of water that's necessary for Hazah. Hazah Eina Tzricha Shear. And what this means is that we don't say that there are two dinim separately here, two separate independent dinim, but rather it's an Esinas Tam. That why is the Hazah Kol Shu Metaheres? Because Ein Hazah L'Shir. And the Mishnah Achrona, one of the commentaries in Parah, explains that if not for the reason which the Mishnah offers of Ein Hazah Tzricha Shir, we would have said that even a Kol Shu has to have a Shir, the minimum Shir. That has to be Mazah, perhaps, from the Mayim, therefore Rebbe in explaining Rabbi Loza has to add the Eina Zoshir Klal. You don't even need Tofeach Amanas Latpiach. Now again, even if you hold that there's no Shir of Mayim, which is the Mayim that is required for Azolat Tomei, nevertheless there's Shir in Mayim that has to be the Kli, where they're going to be Tovel Es HaGivolim Umazim. That's the Shir of Kedei, Sheyitbol's Rosh HaGivolim V'yaze. Okay, that's the discussion here in Tosfos Divrei Maskil HaZoh, based on a Sugya Nida. So therefore it comes out that not only in a situation where the Azah was for Mayim Kedoshim besides Mayim Kedoshim Bolvad exclusively, which means that there's no shear of Mayim in order to set up the Tara of the Tuma of Mess, but even Hazah of Mechza Kosher Mechza Posel, where in this Tzluchas we have a Tarovis of half kosher and half posel, Chatzi Mayim on Mekudoshim, Chai Matzim Ein Mekudoshim, since we have the principle of Ein Lazah Shir, he can be Mazah from this Mayim Shtei Pa'amim, and in each case he's going to be Mazah Kolshu, and the Tomei could be Tar. But anyway, it comes out clearly that according to Rebbe, the Azah and the Tomei doesn't have a shear, and it's logical to assume that as far as Rikas Dam and Karnas on Mizbech, Ein Lo Shear as well. So why did Rebbe and the Braises say that it's only meaningful in this Tarovis case if there's enough in the Matona to multiply the shear by two, you know, to fit the two Karbanos, multiply it by two? And the Gemara's first answer is L'dvarav de Rebbe Eliezer Kama. Rebbe who says that Azoh ain't a tzricha shir, he's only explaining Rebbe Eliezer. He himself never accepted that shita, but rather he accepted the shita the Chachamu argue with Rebbe Eliezer and hold that Azoh needs a shir. Now, if you'll ask why does Rebbe Eliezer require two Azohs if there's no shir in Azoh, why not assume at least there's some mayim tahorim and Ksherim in the first Azor? That's going to be covered by the Sugya later on Daf Pei. But in any event, Hazor, in this case of a mixture, Mechza Kosher, Mechza Posel, is a valid Hazor. It can be done. And the Gemara now is assuming the following equation, that the Avoda of Zrikas Adam on the Mizbeach is parallel or a mirror image of Hazor of Mayim Mei Chatos on the Tomei. And if no minimum shear is required for the Tomei, then no minimum shear is required for Zrikas Adam. So the first answer is that Rebbe actually holds like the Chacham against Rabbi Elias, and there is a shear in Hazah. But Ibai Seba, Gemara offers a second answer, Hazah Lechud, Unesina Lechud. In other words, don't make an equation between Hazah and Zrika in Dam, even if there's no minimum shear required for Hazah in Mayim, in Mechatos, but nevertheless, as far as Zrika's Adam is concerned, you need enough of a Zrika to be visible on both sides, both corners of the Mizbeach. Yesh lechalik beinasinas domim al gabi Mizbeach, that even if Hazah doesn't require a shear, but Matan Domim has a shear. And Rashi says the shear is kedei she yiroa hadam b'shnei ruchos hakeren shel hamizbeach. So you want to underline those words in Rashi. So it comes out according to the second answer that according to Rebbe, we're going to try to make an estimation of the volume of the nesina of the dam. If it has a shear of nesina for both karbonos, then the zrika is kshera. Now, when we make this evaluation and to try to determine if in fact the Matana has the shear of Shtei Karbonos and if the Zrika is Kshera, we still don't know really in effect. We still are in doubt if for each one of these two Karbonos there was a shear of Nesina. It's possible that he did a Nesina of more Dam from one Karbon than he did with the other for the other Karbon. So do we have any certainty here that each carbon got its shear of Nesina? So that again depends upon the sugya later on in Daf Pei, and that's going to explain why Rebbe in his understanding Rebbe Eliezer requires a second Hazah, even though despite the fact that it ain't shear l'Hazah. If there was a shear hazah, then the second hazah wouldn't help me, because I still don't know if in each one there was a shear. But rather, that if we have a fear that the maybe there wasn't enough of shear, so the second dam would give me the shear. That's if you assume that you have a shear. Now the Mishnah said that if there was a tarovus of an ola or a shlomim in a bechar or a maser, there is no pidyon. Because bechar and maser are not subject to pidyon, so therefore yeiro kol abeimus achi istavu v'yochlu kulam b'kedushas bechar and maser. Now the Gemara is going to give us a bunch of questions about bechar, and that's going to lead up to the case for which our Mishnah is going to be cited as a proof regarding one of these sfeikos. Now, since the Gemara now is going to elaborate on the laws of Bechar, let's just give a little bit of an introduction here. You'll see here in the English translation, he tells you that a firstborn male korban is kosher, of a kosher animal. When it's born, it is given a what's called Kedusha Mirechem Imo, a sanctity from its birth, and has to be given to a Kohen who offers the Bechar as a korban on the Mizbeach, and eats the meat of the Bechar. If the Bechar becomes a Baal Mum before it's offered on the Mizbeach, it still belongs to the Kohen, and according to the law of the Doraisa, it retains some of its sanctity, and that means that the Kohen is not allowed to work with the animal. That's called avoda or gizo, shearing its wool. He's only allowed to shecht it and consume its meat. So again, it's still the property of the Kohen, even though it became a Baal Mum. And this Bechar engenders some sort of residue of Kedusha, and therefore there's an Iser Giza Ve'avoda. Now, if the Kohen wishes to sell the Basar, he cannot sell it in a meat market or have it weighed on a scale using regular weights, because that would be degrading to the sanctity, the residue of sanctity that's left in the Bechar. Omar Rabbi Rami Bar Chama, Bechar lebeis Shammai ein machilin oso le nidos, le noshim nidos. So according to Beit Shammai, says Rami Bar Chama, we're not allowed to feed a Bechar, even if it's a Baal Mum, to an Isha Nida. And the Gemara in Bechoros explains the reason for this, because the Torah set up a hekesh between Bechar and Chaz v'Shok. That's in Bamidbar Yudches, where the pasuk says, "Ubesaram yeh loch kechazeh tnufa ukeshok hayemin lecha yeh." This hekesh teaches us that just like Chaz v'Shok is not eaten by a woman benidusa, so too, and that's based on the pasuk there that says kol tarb veisach yochalos. So too, the basar bechar is not nechal to noshim nidos. That's according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel actually disagree, and they hold that halacha would only apply to bechar tam if it has no blemish. That's where we have a hekesh to chaz v'shok, and we're not going to feed it to Noshim Nidos. A Bechar Baal Mum is Mutal Ha'achil in Noshim Nidos, because the Torah says, Kol HaBechar Asher Yulad Mibkarcho B'tzonacho Takdish Lashem. But V'chiyir Bo Mum Pisecho Iver B'sharecha Tochalenu HaTomei V'Tor Yachdov Kitzvi Ukayal. So it means that after the Bechar received a Mum, it's a Baal Mum, then you're allowed to eat it anywhere, and you're allowed to eat it bituma or bitara, so therefore there's no isur nida. Question is, what Beit Shammai is going to do with this pasuk and this yalfusa? But in any event, according to Beit Shammai, it comes out that even if there are certain types of tuma which would not prevent the kohen from eating the meat of a bechar, but a nida, or for that matter, any tumah that yoseis migufo, is not allowed to eat the meat. And this would apply even nowadays. Beis Hillel again holds that a Baal Mum, a Bechar, can be eaten by any tumah. even by someone who's not a Kohen. Now the Gemara wants to know the following. This is the first inquiry, the first suffix of the Gemara, and that is Tmuraso Mau. What's the law concerning the Tmura? You have a Bema Schulin, and you make a swap, so to speak, in your mind, and you say, Tehe Zu, Tmuras Abachar. And we already learned back on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis that the din is that Eina Kraver, you cannot be Makrevit, but rather it's eaten by the Bailin Bemuma. Now, what's the din? This is the Suffolk of the Gemara. If it's Asura Bachil Lenidos, or maybe it's Muteres. How do we define the status of the Tmura, the Behemoth Chulin, that now receives, so to speak, by grafting onto it, that residue of sanctity of a Balmum, which cannot be brought on the Mizbeach? Shall we assume, therefore, that the Isur Nida of Achila Benidus that applies according to Beit Shammai should apply even in the case of a Tmuras Bechar Balmum? So the Gemara says the following. You know, there's certain things here that are clear and that are undeniable. And what's that? Bechar Balmum Eino Nifteh. The Bechar Balmum is not subject to pigeon. In other words, you cannot be mafkia the kedusha of a Bechar Balmum and transmit over to the Mos. That's a Mishnah in Masechta Tmura. And the Kedusha that's left in a Bechar Balmum is Li Olam. And it doesn't lend itself to pigeon at all. And Rashi explains in Tmur the reason why there's no pigeon in the case of Bechar Balmum is because the Torah says there in Bamidbar Yudches, Ach Bechar Shar, O Bechar Kesev, O Bechar Eiz Lo Tifteh. And in the case of Meiser Behemot says Lo Yigal. The Rambam on the other hand has a slightly different understanding of why there's no pigeon, and that's because Bechar Meiser Nechon B'Mumah LeBalehem. The Bechar is given, if it's a Balmum, to Kohen, the Meiser to its Bailim, and therefore there's no need for pigeon. In other Kachim, without pigeon, there's no use for it, because he can't be makriv them if it's a balmum, and he can't eat it because ain hegdesh yotzi l'chul v'lo pigeon, therefore you pod it. But in the case where the Torah gave it, in the case of Bechar Balmum, and this can apply to Behemoth Meiser as well, the Torah gave it to the Kohen to eat it, or the Bailim to eat it in the case of Maser, there's no need for pigeon. Rashi says there's no legality to pigeon. Well, now the Gemara continues. Tmuraso, here we have the suffix, in the case of the Tmura of the Bechar Balmum, Mau, does it have the identical din of the Balmum itself, the original Bechar, which means it doesn't lend itself to pinyon, or Shema, perhaps, it does have pinyon. It can be Yotzei Slechun, like any Behemoth Kodshim, Shenafel Balmum. Again, the only exception is Bechar and Maser, which lend themselves to pinyon, and it's Yotzei Slechun. So on this suffix of the Gemara, there's an insight here of the Brisker Rav. This insight of the Brisker Rav is based on the Shitas HaRambam that Tmuras Bechar is given to the Kohen like the Bechar itself. And therefore, just like we said with regard to the Bechar, that there's no pigeon, because since it's given to the Kohen, it doesn't require pigeon, so to Tmuras Bechar, Lechora, the same logic should apply. If, according to the Rambam, the Tmuras Bechar is given to the Kohen, just like the Bechar itself, then just like the Bechar doesn't have pigeon, and we should say the same thing should apply to Tmuras Bechar. But he says the following, B'Tmuras Bechar yesh l'stapik, ha'im al yedei pigeon, hi yotzeis l'chulin. I think he means lechulin legamrei. V'ena bailim chayovim lasesol lekohen. Perhaps, if according to one side in the Gemara Sofek, within the framework of Rabbi Eliezer, then we could have the following suggestion. Well, leave out Rabbi Eliezer. I'm sorry. Let's talk about Rami Bar Chama. But according to Rami Bar Chama, we could have the following suggestion that maybe the Bechor itself, in this case the Balmum, is subject to pidgin, and then you don't have to give it to the Kohen. The Bailin will do a pidgin, and they can keep the Bechor for themselves. Or should we say no? It has the same status as the Bechor itself, in this case the Tmuras Bechor, and therefore it's Eini Yotzis L'chulin, and he has to give it to the Kohen. This all fits in very well according to the Rambam Shita. In any event, the Gemara has a suffix as to what the status of a tmura of a Bechor Balmum is concerned. The Gemara goes on to say that it's clear, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that a Bechor Tam, so now we're talking about a Bechor that's absolutely healthy, it's not a Balmum. And the Gemara wants to know the following. Bizman Azeh, again, the same thing could apply at the time of the Migdash in the case of Bechor Balmum, is Eino Nishkal Belitra. If the Kohen wants to sell it, he's not allowed, as we said before, because of the residue of Kedusha, even Bizman Azeh, to weigh the Basar on a scale the way he would normally weigh meat. That would be a Zilzil in the Kedusha. Now, in Psuya Mekdashim, there's a heter to do that because since it's going to be sold, this basar, and it has to be sold bedigduk at a certain specific weight, and it's not going to, you're just not going to make an estimation. So there'll be a revach, there'll be an increase, a financial benefit to Hegdesh, and they could sell it what's called the Damim Meruvim Yoser. But in the case of Bechor, where the Damim is going to the Kohen, then we have to be very makbid to avoid any sort of zilzul in that Kedusha for the sake of the Harvach HaSakohen. But rather it should be sold by Omed by evaluating its estimate, and not the Mishkal the Litra. So let's just summarize what the Gemara is saying now in order to introduce the suffix of Tmura. The Gemara says it's absolutely clear that a Bechor Balmum is not allowed to be weighed against a Litra. And this means that a litra is a certain Roman pound weight made of stone or metal, which is placed on one side of the balance of the scale to determine the weight of the meat placed on the other. Meat is customarily weighed and sold in this manner. A Kohen who wishes to sell the meat of a Bechor Balmum is not allowed to weigh it on such a scale because that would be a degradation to the basar that still, as we said before, has kedusha to it of a Bechor Balmum. This is sort of like commercialization of consecrated meat. And now the Gemara wants to know, Tmuraso Mao, what happens if you have a Bemas Chulin and you do a Tmura from this Bechor Balmum? Do we say that the Tmura has the same identical Chumra, Sakdusha of the Bechor itself? And therefore also Lishkol Sabasar Bilitra? Or no? And now in these two sfeikos, both of which really hinge on the question of whether Tmura generates, in the case of a Bechor Balmum, the same exact status as the Bechor, the original Bechor, or is it a lower status, a lower Kedusha, Amar Rava, I'm going to prove this, Tanya from a Braisa. What does it say in the Braisa? Bechor Umaser, even Misha Humemu, even after there was an Afilas Mum, Osim Tmura. If he takes a Beimus Chulin and he says that this Beimus Chulin should be tachas, should be a replacement for the Bechor or for the Maser, then the Kedusha that's chal on the Beimus Chulin via through the process of Tmura is Tmura Asa Kayotze Ben. The Tmura has the same identical Kedusha as the original Bechor. And therefore all the dinim that apply to the Kedusha because of the Kedusha's Bechor now are going to chal on the Tmura. Therefore it's clear, according to Rava's understanding of the Braisa, that just like a Bechor itself is not allowed to be eaten to nidos, and there's no pigeon, so too it cannot be weighed in a litra. And therefore the same din applies to the Tmura, Number one, it's osel and nida. Number two, there's no pigeon. Number three, it's not allowed to weigh it bilitra. This is the final decision on the sveikas that we had before, as presented by Rava, based on a braisa. Now, Rashi here clearly says that we're talking about a Kohen that, just 1 second, that in the case of Tmuras Bechor, there's no pigeon. That seems to be explicit in a Mishnah in Masechta Tmura Daf Chaf Aleph. It says, Ma ben Bechor Masel ben Kol HaKodshim. And it says, Yesh lem pigeon, Ulet Muros Sehem, pigeon, Chutz min HaBechor, VaMaser. So it seems to be outspoken here that there's no Tmura for a Bechor and pigeon. So the question is, why does Rami Bar Chama himself have a suffix about this? And Tosfos, Divra Masel Bechor, suggests that what it says in the Mishnah, Chutz min HaBechor VaMaser, it's not a relationship to Tmuras Bechor Maser, but rather to the Bechor or the Maser itself. And therefore, we're left with the suffix of Rami Bar Chama. Boy, Rami Bar Chama, now we have a second round, another suffix of Rami Bar Chama with regard to Kedushas Bechor. And this we're going to try to tip the scale in one direction or another from our Mishnah here in Kol HaZvachim. Hitpis Bechor Le Bedek HaBayis. In other words, the Kohen was Magdish a Bechor that became a Balmum for the purpose of Bedek HaBayis, and therefore it has only a Kedushas Domim. Ma'u Sheyishkol Belitra. Now, in the case of a Bechor that was given for Bedek HaBayis, then generally speaking, these are objects which are sold. Again, it's for the upkeep of the Bayis. They're sold as a fund by the Gizbar, and the monies that are received are used for the upkeep of the Migdash. What about the case of a Bechor Balmum, where the Kohen made a Hakdosha for this purpose of Bedek HaBayis? Ma'u Sheyishkol Belitra. Can the meat of this Bechor be sold in the normal way with the regular commercial techniques that are done in the marketplace by weighing it against a litra? Because the proceeds of this sale will be given over to the Kohen who received it. So can the Gizbar, when he's selling it for Tzorchei Bedek HaBayis, can he weigh it against the litra as the normal way of the Katsavim? And the Gemara now analyzes the Tzadi HaSofek. Ravcha DeHegdesh Adif, which means that the interest in the profit of the Beis HaMikdash should take precedence. So on the one hand, it's improper to degrade the sanctity of the Bechor for the sake of a higher return for the Kohen. However, in this case, it's a little bit different because it's Ravcha DeHegdesh. We're not talking about a higher return and a financial gain for the Kohen, but rather for the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, that's not considered a Zilzul if they use the litra. So the Kohen, when he sells this Bechor, Shenofel Bomum, for the purpose of his Tzorech, he's not allowed to be Mezalzel in Kedushas Bechor. So again, in the case that the Gizbar is selling Letzorech Hegdesh, that's not considered zilzul, and they could use the shkila belitra of the basar, so that it would be sold bedigduk and not be omed, and then more money will come and accrue to hegdish. So hegdish is the profit here, is the niskar. Oh, dilma, shall we say zilusa de bechar adif? We should be more concerned to be choshesh for the bizayin of the Kedushas Bechor, and therefore it's asul mochro belitra, but rather you have to sell it by just estimating its value. And again, even though we find in Kachim Mizbeach Shenifsalu, you're allowed to sell them the litra in order for the increase, the benefit of Hegdish to be Marviach, but here we have to distinguish. It's not the same. There, in the case of selling Kachim Mizbeach Shenifsalu, then Li Osa Kedusha, for that very same kedusha that they're being mezalzelin, they have a revach. They have a benefit because the dmei abehema psulim with the monies that they accrue by selling the behema shenifsala, they're going to buy in its place a behema that's ruuyal akrav that can be brought in the mizbech, and then makdish also for the sake of the same karbon. But here, in the case of a Bechar Balmum, that's a zilzul in the Kedushas Bechar for some other purpose, because they're not going to use the money that they receive in exchange for the Bechar in order to buy another Bechar. I mean, there's no such thing as buying a Bechar, but rather they're going to use the Domin for Bedek HaBayis. So that's a slightly different use there, in a sense. They're pushing the money off on a different vein. And here we have a Tosus Dimya Masel Hitbis, in which he tries to understand the suffix of Rami Bar Chama only if we say that the Isur of Shkilas Litra is an Isur Drabanan, if we're going to assume that the Isur is Minat Torah, and that seems to be implicit in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, because Rabbi Shimon in Sanhedrin says that if you find in an ear hanidachas of bechor v'amaser ein lem din misa mishum shenemar hake take v'esabehem lefi chorev, and the Chazal darshin that only that which is eaten b'toras behemtecha you can be knowing a min chulin to sell it be'itlas and we b'shokel it be'litra and it's chayev misa. But yotze behema she'enat noig b'hem kibehemtcha like b'char u'maser einatem reshoyim lemochu be'itlas shokla be'itra, and it's not chayiv misa. But from the fact that Torah has a miut to exclude b'char u'maser, it would seem to imply for sure that the isa lishko litra is minat Torah, and if we don't understand what the tzad of Rami Bar Chama's suffik was to be matir for Hegdish to sell it belitro when the Torah itself prohibits this. That's the kash of Tosfos. Ayin Shom. In any event, Rav Yossi now, Bar Zvida, wants to bring a raya to be poshet this suffek from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, this arvu, if there was a mixture of ola or shlomim, bivacharu v'maser, yeiro, ad shi istavu v'yochlu, b'kedushas b'char v'maser. So Gemara says, lav l'meimar, di eino nishkal b'litra. In a rhetorical question, isn't it true? Is it not the intention of the Mishnah to tell us that even after a mum falls in the bechar, you cannot be shokel belitra, you can't sell it, you can't be podiv, and nevertheless the ola or the shlomim shenafel ben mum is dvam lehegdesh, and if he's not going to weigh them, there's going to be a hefse for hegdesh. And nevertheless, since there was a tarovus in the case of bechar and maaser, we're not going to be mezals in the kedushas bechar. Well, the Kedushas Maaser for the purpose of gaining a little bit more money on the Dmei Ola Dmei Shlomim. And therefore we should apply the same logic in the case of someone who's Makdish Bechar Balmum for Bedek HaBayis. The Gizbar is enjoined from being Shokel Belitra to be a Zilzel for Kedushas Bechar, even though as a result of this Isur there's going to be a Hefse to Kodshe Bedek HaBayis. That's the Raya that Rav Yossi wants to bring from our Mishnah. The Gemara now is going to reject that Raya. So Rabbi Yossi again understands that when it says in the Mishnah, Ye achlu kibachar ukemaser, as a bachar and a maser, means the entire mixture should be left to graze until each animal becomes unfit for hakrov because it received a mum. The bachar and the maser karbanos are not subject to pidyon. The other sacrifices can be subject to pidyon. Now, after the pidyon, in the case of the mixture of a a tarovus of a chuin animal, together with a bechor or maser that is a balmum, then we're allowed to go ahead and shecht and eat it. However, the chumras that apply to a blemished, a balmum of a bechor or maser, karbonis, as a result of the fact that they have an unredeemed status, will apply now to the entire mixture, and that's going to cause a loss to Hegdesh, because normally the other karbonis would have been subject to pidyon, and you could use the regular techniques of the katsovim, of the selling techniques, to maximize the gain for Hegdesh, but not, we're not going to allow that in the case of Kedushas Bechor, because that would be degrading, even for the sake of the other karbonos. So the Gemara now rejects this principle, this proof. Rav Huna of Rav Chizkiya, Talmidei D'Rab Yirmiya, they are going to reject this. Amri mi dami. Is there really a fair, justified analogy to our Mishnah, between our Mishnah and the Suffolk of Rami Bar Chama? After all, Hasam over there in the Mishnah regarding Zvachim that became mixed up with Bechor, there the Revach, the gain for Hegdesh, has no connection to be Matir, to the Heter of Zilzul B'Kedusha. Why? Shtei Kedushas Ushnei Gufin. We have two separate Kedushas, with Kedushas Zvachim, let's say Olin Shlomim, which is Shaykh to Hegdesh, and with Kedushas Bechor, where the damim of the Bechor go to the Kohen, Ushnei Gufim, and they're two separate Gufim. There are no two Kedushos in each Guf, in each Behemah. On each Behemah there's a Kedusha that's independent of the other Behemah. Therefore the Chacham hold that there's no Eino Royal Mezalzel Behemah. We're not going to allow you to be Mezalzel Behemah that has Kedushas Bechor, because of the Rebach that you're going to gain to Hegdesh from the other Behemah that has a different kind of Kedusha, a Kedusha of Zvachim. But Hacha, in the case of Rami Bar Chama, where he was Matvis the Bechor, Balmum, Tiberik Abayis, then there are Shtei Kedushas Baguf Echad. There's Kedushas Bechor and Kedushas Berik Abayis, but it's all in one Guf. Because that same Behemah, upon this Behemah, shall we say, or inherent in the Behemah, there's a Chalos of two Kedushas. The Kedushas Haguf of Bechor, the Kedushas Berek HaBayis of Hegdesh Domin. So since there are two Kedushas in one Behemah, it's very possible to say that in the same Behemah, if there's a Revach for Hegdesh, when we weigh the Basar Belitra, that's better and that's worth it. We would adif, meaning we would prefer to gain a Revach for Hegdesh even at the expense of Zilzul B'Kedushas Bechor, because if we want the Revach of the Berek HaBayis to be materialized, and it's all in one Guf, it's all in one Behemah, the Shtei Kedushas HaChalos in one Behemah, that's something that we might in fact allow. The distinction is that what you want to do is you want to be Mezalzel in one Hegdesh, meaning in the Bechor, for the sake of a gain to a different Hegdesh, to a different Zevach, an animal other than the Bechor. In the case of the gain, by using the Mishkal of Litra, the gain belongs to the Kohen, he's the Bailim. We're not going to degrade the sanctity of the Bechor for the sake of a prophet and an entirely different animal. And that's our Mishnah. But in the case of the Safek of Rami Bar Chama, there, we're talking about a whole different set of circumstances. The prophet to Hegdesh comes from the very same animal that was sanctified as a Bechor. And therefore, it's quite possible to say that it's worth permitting the Mishkal, the Litra, degrading the sanctity of the Bechor for the sake of the prophet that will accrue to Hegdesh from the very sale of this very same animal. Maskifle Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin, and he seems to be attacking the very premise of the Suffolk of Rami Bar Chama. So this kasha is an objection that he's raising against Rami Bar Chama. Now, we said that it's also to be mezalzel and kedushas bachar. What's the svara of Rabbi Bar Kama to be mistapeh to raise the possibility that in mitfisa lebedek habayis be mutam mezalzel and kedushas bachar? Ma ilu omar, had a person said to Bezdin, haftuli bachar, be podim for me on my behalf of bachar balmum, this particular bachar balmum, shet fiso akoin lebedek habayis, so there will be yotzei lechulim. Now will be mutter in gizav avoda, and now there'll be a revach for hegdesh klum shovim lo. Would it be possible that Bezdin would listen to such an argument and violate what the Torah says? Ach bechor shor lo tifte, all for the sake of revach of hegdesh. This is not acceptable. There's no question. It's unacceptable. And Cain, therefore, just like to be potent would be asur, even though there's a revach for hegdesh, so to be mezalzel in its kedusha, to be shokabel litra, even if you're doing so for the better good of revach hegdesh, that certainly would be prohibited. That's the kasha Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara rejects this kasha. And the Gemara says, hafdu, is pidyon bechor really a kasha on Rabbi Bar Chama with regard to pidyon? Rachman omar lo tifte. The Torah says that you cannot be poda bechor. So it's poshut that we cannot violate this iser even for the sake of revach hegdish, because the Torah says that you're not allowed to be poda, and that's explicit in the Torah. It says lo sifte. Here, when we talk about lishkol litra, that's only an iser drabanan. Maybe there's a svara to say that for the sake of revach hegdesh, it should be mutter to violate this iser of bizayin bechor, which is only an iser drabanan. So therefore, the Gemara now has to offer another way of being poshet the suffix of Rabbi Bar Chama. Omar Rabbi Ami klum hikna ze elamashikoni ze. What was the coin makna to hegdesh? Masha konui lo. A person can't be makna to hegdesh what he doesn't have. The coin does not have a schus to be mezalzel in the bechor, to sell it beitlis, or to be shokel belitra. All he has in this bechor, balmum, is the shovi, is the value, the financial value of the basar, as it's sold, be omed, In a general estimation, without a precise weighing it, belitra. Therefore, he cannot be makna to hegdesh that extra value that he would have if he would be allowed to be shokel belitra, since he's not allowed to do so. And therefore, the whole process or enterprise of being magdish for hegdesh for kedushas damim, a value that includes shkila belitra, that's impossible. In other words, the logic here is that what was the ownership that was transferred to the Kohen? He can't transfer more than what was the ownership value that he has. And the answer is that the Kohen doesn't own the extra money that would be earned by weighing the meat against the litra. Thus, he cannot donate to Hegdesh, he can't be Magdish, that which he doesn't own, to allow Hegdesh to sell it in the way of litra. Now, we go back to the last part of that Mishnah, that's the Bava Shlishis, which says, Hakol Yecholim Lis'arev, that means all Zvachim can mix together and there won't be any heker, which behemoth was designated as a carbon, which behemoth was designated for this carbon and for that carbon, except for the case of Chatos V'Asham, that if they get mixed up together, then we're going to know, we're going to be able to determine which is the Chatos and which is the Asham. So the Gemara tries to explain now why the Mishnah holds that there's a difference here between Chatos and Asham and all other Zvachim. Maishna, Chatos v'Asham. What are you going to tell me that in a mixture of Chatos v'Asham, there cannot be a Tarovus, there's no latest Asafik? Why? The high Zachar, the Korban Asham comes from a Zachar. And that's called in Vayikra Hey Minha Elim O Minha Kvasim Vahai, but the Karban Chatos is Minikeva, comes from Minikeva, as the Pasuk says, O Hoda Elov Chatos Shechot Vevi Karbano Seirim Izim Tmima Nikeva Al Chatoso. The Torah is outspoken that we're talking about a chatos from a nekeva. And also the pasuk says later on, Vim keves yavi karbon lechatos nekeva tmima yiviena. Is therefore we have a clear cut distinction between the osham and the chatos, whereas the osham is a zachar, the chatos is a nekeva. So there's no tarovus here. We can always tell the difference between the two. So Gemara asks the same kash. What about chatos viola nami? We have the same exact distinction, the same exact, you know, lack of distinction, if you will. No, I'm sorry. The same exact ability to distinguish, if you will, between a chatos and an ola, because a chatos, as we said, comes from an akeva. An ola has to come from a zachar, as the pasuk says at the beginning of Vayikra of him, olakar benomen abakar, zachar tomim yakrivenu. Later on in Vayikra, it says, in the same parak, it says, v'yim min atzon kar benomen akvasimo min aizim le'ola zachar tomim yakrivenu. So once again, l'chor, there's no possibility of a tarovus in the case of a chatos and an ola. So why does the Mishnah single out chatos and osham, that there's no possibility of tarovus? The Gemara answers, in the tarovus of chatos, v'ola, ika, there is a situation in which there's no possibility of distinguishing between the two. And that's going to be the case of sa'ir nasi. That if there was a mixture of a sa'ir nasi, which means that the nasi violated a certain isur b'shogeg, a severe isur, then he brings a carbon sa'ir, this nasi, and that's going to be a zachar, which is the exception to the rule of chatos, and it got mixed up with an ola, which is always born in a zachar. So the Tana couldn't mention chatos viola because the Tana had to be sensitive to this very exceptional case of seir nazir. Now the Gemara asks the following question. Well, maybe in the case of chatos viyosham as of tarovus, the Mishnah should have been also very sensitive, because this is going to be a situation in which there's no possibility of being mavdil, of being mavchin between a chatos viyosham, like the case of seir nasi, which comes from a zachar, with an asham, which also comes from a zachar, as we said before. So you still don't have a consistent justification as to why the Mishnah singles out a mixture of chatos v'asham as opposed to chatos viola. The Gemara answers, hai seir v'hai tsemer. Hai seir and hai tsemer. There's still a way of differentiating between the soyer nazir, the chatos of a nasi, I'm sorry, of a nasi, it's very often when I say nazir, I mean nasi, sorry, and an asham. And even in this case, although the sa'ir of a nasi comes min azokh, there's still a way of distinguishing, because the chatos of a nasi comes min asa'irim, and a sa'ir has tsemer, right? That's called se'ar. I'm sorry, it does not have tsemer, it has se'ar. Whereas the osham comes min a'ayal, which has tsemer and not se'ar. So again, let's just review this. The chatos nasi comes min a'se'irim, and that's se'ar. The ayal of an osham comes from a ram that doesn't have se'ar, but rather has tsemer. It's very easy to distinguish between the two. Now the Gemara asks a different kasha. But Pesach ve'osham nami lo ma'arev, you can clearly distinguish between a carbon Pesach and a carbon osham. And why is that so? Because the case of carbon Pesach is ben shana. A carbon Pesach has to be younger, the keves that you use for a carbon Pesach has to be younger than a year old, v'hai ben shtei shanim, whereas the osham, which comes from an ayal, from an ayal, is a two-year-old ayal. So why did the Mishnah mention that as an exception where there's no tarovus? You could clearly distinguish. So the Gemara says that in a mixture between a carbon Pesach and an osham, ikar, there's also a situation where you cannot distinguish between the two of them. If there was a tarovus of carbon Pesach, abom and akvasim, be asham nazir and asham mitzora, which also come from kvasim. See, we have two cases of a carbon osham that come in a kvasim, like identical to carbon Pesach, and they have to be up to a year old, but not beyond. And this is all explicated in the Torah itself in Vayikra Perek Vav. Yiboy Seima, I can give you another answer why Pesach and osham are not mentioned as a case where there's no taroves. And that is the Ika ben Shana de Michzei Kiben Shtei Shana. It's possible that you have a carbon asham which is 2 years old, it's an ayal, but nevertheless you can't tell whether it's 1 year old or 2 years old. It looks very young, so to speak. The Ika ben Shtaim de Michzei Kiben Shana. And you can have, so you can have a keves in the case of a Korban Pesach that's only a year old, but it looks like 2 years old. You can't tell the difference between that and the ayal of the asham. And on the flip side, you can have an ayal ben shtayim that it looks like a keves ben shana. And therefore you cannot distinguish between the asham and the Korban Pesach. And therefore the Tana doesn't mention Korban Pesach and asham as something that doesn't have a tarovet.
So we'll stop here in Amir Tz Hashem. Tomorrow we'll cover the Mishnah.